simpler jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I think it's Psalm 133, although I could be wrong. I was just getting ready to shoot today over here. Scripture says, how good and pleasant it is when men dwell together in unity. It's there that God commands the blessing. I think it's Psalm 133. Check that out for me. Somebody search up for me and put it here in the chat.
You're right, Coach. 133.
Connor, if you can, real quickly, brother, pull that up. It's Psalm 133. And I'm talking about our event that we just had in this weekend here in Ohio. It was a wonderful, wonderful, marvelous event. And the thing that's always good about it is the rich, rich fellowship. And man, we had some rich fellowship, and it was really, really good. And Jamie Walden blew everybody away. I got to be honest. He had a segment. We have the video made, by the way, and I'll get into that a little bit. We're going to try to get that video edited and put in a form where you can come and watch it. Jamie spoke for about 4 hours, and we had some interactions, some different things that are on the video. And you know what was really, really good? We had about Gary Pierce, who I tip my cap to Gary and Debbie, his wife, for the hard work that they did helping to put the event together. Shirley Sharp. Let me go there real quick because I got some thank yous. I got to make sure I get out here before we get too far. Shirley Sharp, who's the home of the House of New Hope, who let us use the facility free. She let us use it free. And I'll tell you, that's been one of the problems that we've had with doing events is I can't find a venue. Can't find a church. Well, there are a couple churches there's a couple places that will. But if you want to have an event with, 100, 150 people, you need a nice event center. Well, Shirley Sharp and House of New Hope said, yeah, you can use ours and you can use it for free. In fact, she had to pay an employee to be on site while we were there. And she said, don't even worry about that. We'll cover it too. So I just thank you so much, Shirley, for doing that. She said, we love what you do. And God bless you, man. Thanks, Shirley. And Gary and Debbie did a lot of work. And my wife, Michelle, my goodness. I told her this morning she's MVP and she blushes. She said, I didn't do anything. I said, if you hadn't did what you did, we wouldn't have the food. None of that stuff would have worked. And it's always those behind the scenes players that make all the difference. They make all the difference. So stuff. See, when everything goes smoothly, it means somebody was doing their job that you don't even know was doing their job. And Stephanie emailed me today, and she's right, man. My wife and I working in unison. You guys don't even know she's there. You don't even know what she's doing. And she's planned it, and she's done it. And we opened up our house, and we fed, and we fed, and we fed, and she never missed a beat. She just never missed a beat. And I told her this morning, actually about 4 in the morning, we both happened to wake up the same time. I said, honey, you're star of the show, man. Nobody even knows it. Boy, you did it. You did it. And Mike Blake opened up his house to us again, let guys sleep over there for free. And Mike's just a selfless giving guy and saved hundreds of dollars in hotel rooms for some guys people came in. And it's just a wonderful event. Jamie stayed at our house. Jamie and his wife, Virginia, and the 3 kids stayed here at our house. And it's all good. It was just a wonderful event. But you know what? Really, really, who am I forgetting? Anybody else? Mike, Gary, really? Surge being Surge, running the camera, bringing stuff, donating stuff, just over and over and over and over. It's the first event that I've been to in a while that Mark Trump wasn't able to come to. And Mark, once you know, we missed you, but we were able to pull it off without you. It's good. It's good. No more missing, though. And just a wonderful, wonderful time. But what really was, what I was most excited about is there were an element of people in that room. I tried to explain it at the beginning. You guys have heard me talk about it before, that our need to plow our own row and all the many different special interests there are in Christianity. Some like to go down the Jewish path. Some go down the Israel path. Some go down the rapture path. Some go down the cosmos path. Some go, there's all kinds of rows. And we tend to not play together if we're not all plowing the same row. We just don't. And I don't think, you know, if somebody's called you to a particular ministry, some go down the prayer ministry, some go down the mercy ministry of feeding people. And we don't play together because we're not all in the same row. And one of the points I was trying to make to everybody is, listen, we're one body and we're many members and we're all plowing our row. But at sometimes you got to get your eyes out of your row and look around and see what else is going on if we're ever going to be able to come together and play together. And right now where we are in a crucial, crucial time. And some of you have never come out of your row. You never looked around and saw another row. And we saw another row. Jamie Walden, if you heard Jamie Walden and didn't have a different opinion of Jesus Christ as a conquering king, a military general, leading an army, you can't listen to him and not get a different perspective on it. So I was so excited because when at the conclusion, there were people who came who had never been to an event like that. And I know they left scratching their head thinking, oh my goodness, boy, is that a different perspective on Christianity. It was a wonderful, wonderful event. So we had, Gary said 63 is what we had in the room. But I think he didn't miss it. But I think some came and some went that he didn't notice. And so anyway, I was hoping for 20. When we first started, I was hoping we'd get 20. And now we know that we can do it. And I said, every one of those people who came, bring somebody with you the next time. And we're going to continue to do these type of events. So just God bless all of you who came and all of you who supported. And Steve Dexon, and you know, I was worried about having enough money to honor Jamie and his honorarium. Steve Deck kicked in some bucks, and others kicked in some bucks. And I just appreciate all of you, man. And before we get going here too into some other stuff, I want to jump in. I just want some feedback from some of you who were there, what you thought or what you might have, anything, any words of wisdom. Folks, listen, I don't do this to make you feel guilty, okay? Please don't feel guilty if you couldn't come. Please don't. Please know this. You missed something. It was really, really good. But we're not here to make you feel guilty. We're not here to, you know, it's like we're watching we went to the football game and we saw the football game. And now we're giving you, tell you what happened at the football game and the things behind the scenes that you didn't see going on. And so please don't take it wrong. So let me open it up real quickly here. Excuse me. And oh, quickly, we need to pray for Polly Heath. Polly, as you know, we got had some surgery down in Guatemala last week, and came back, and they were a little bit concerned about something they found in some of the testing afterwards. So let's just be in prayer for that. Continue to lift up Polly, that Lord's in control, and that's they're going to make some decisions. I'm not trying to let any. I'm just giving you the overview. Okay. Just be praying for Mike and Polly and the faithfulness of the Lord upon them. Somebody want to come in? Somebody want to come in and give their 2 cents worth or 1 cent worth or no cents worth? Doors open.
Well, it was a great time of fellowship, Coach. I really enjoyed being there, hearing the word, and meeting new people for the first time face-to-face who I've seen on the queue. It was a great time of fellowship and equipping and encouraging.
Robert, think what's happened in your life in the last 6 months. It's pretty amazing, isn't it, really?
Well, it's very amazing. I think back, I went to that first conference and go there for a conference. I met you, Mike Spaulding, Bradley Dean, a bunch of people the first time. And it's my life's totally come around because I'm networking now with activists. and get and seeing other people in their lane. I look in my lane, now look over the field where we're going. It's very encouraging to know there's people out there to network with.
Yeah, it really, really is. And so, you know, I think there are a lot of people out there looking for somewhere to be able to engage. And that's what we're trying to do is give them an opportunity to be able to engage. We're not trying to change the road that you're plowing. We just want you to be aware that others are plowing too, and their work is just as critical as the work that you're doing. Hey, we have to respect one another in our roles and what it is we're supposed to do. Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, this is Mark. I was just saying, Mark, plowing rows, what's the result? You plant seed and you grow fruit. So a garden has all kinds of things in it. You got potatoes and onions. How do you cook without all the pieces that come out of those rows? You know, you got to till the rows. You got to till between them. You got corn and beans. You got peas and potatoes. Everything goes together in a garden, Coach. We all have to work in our row, and we got to help each other out.
You know, I grew up on a farm when my dad was in the service before he had enough rank for us to join him and everything. And when you're plowing a row, sooner or later, that row becomes finite. It runs out. You can't go any further. And unless you get in somebody else's row, you're useless.
Amen, Larry. And I would say this, folks. Listen, we got a quick cross rolling, right? If I'm going north and south, I got to go east and west. Quit plowing me into the ground. Now you can go, and then I can come behind you, and that's cool. But we got people plowing this way and then getting intersected by somebody going the other direction. And so we need to respect one another's ministries. And listen, folks, when the Lord puts a call on your heart, let me back up a second. You ought to hear the things that Jamie Walden tried to do as a profession until the Lord just called him out of all of them. Just called him out of all of them to just sit down and just wait. Just sit down and wait. And Jamie, what a humble servant, man. He and his wife are living in a, I'm not telling you, Jamie. He and his wife are living in a two-bedroom apartment above a bar because somebody allowed them to live there free. He sold all of his worldly possessions. He's 38 years old, 38 years old. He says, sometimes I look around and how can I be here at 38 years old? Living above a bar. My wife and I sleep in one room and all three kids sleep in the other. And we got just a little, but he said, it's not about any of that stuff. See, it's not about any of that. Now he's not calling you to go live in a one bedroom apartment, but he did. The Lord called upon him to do it. So if Jamie talked about one thing over and over and over and over, it was this: it isn't about you. It isn't about you. It isn't about you and your ministry. It isn't about me and my ministry. It isn't about Robert Klaus's books. It isn't about him. It's not about him. It's not about you and what it is the Lord's called you to do. It's about the Lord. And for whatever it is, he's trusted you to do this ministry. But it's not about you. It's not about you. It's so hard for us to get. That's why I think a lot of times why we get offended. You know, we see when the Lord lays something on your heart, it becomes special to you, man. It becomes special. It can also become an idol. It can be an idol. Mm-hmm. All my attention just on this and expecting everybody else to focus their attention on it as well. And people don't recognize. They don't appreciate what I do. Michelle, they don't appreciate what they do. Well, I ain't doing it for them to appreciate it. I'm doing it for the Lord to appreciate it. The Lord asked me to do it. I'm doing it. Do I need you to applaud that I do it? No. Do I need you to criticize what I do? No, I don't need that. I'm doing it as unto the Lord. And so if people appreciate you, that's great. If they don't appreciate you, that's okay. It ain't about you. That's what I got from Jamie. You should have been there at this powerful moment when he called this young David. I think David was about 16 or 17 years old. David came up and Jamie put on the armor, the military armor on this young man, the actual military armor, and explained the military armor and the purpose of it. And I was sitting there and I was watching him put this armor on David. Young guy's name is David. And he's standing there. I'm thinking, man, he looks intimidating. David looks intimidating in all of that armor. Now understand, we're wearing it. The Lord put that. The Bible says it is his armor. The Lord puts his armor on you. You wear his armor and you go into battle. And Jamie explained what each one of those things did and why he had to do it. And they were all offensive. None of them was just to, none of the armor was to get dressed and just stand there and let them shoot at you. Say, ooh, I got my vest on. Ooh, that didn't get me. Ooh, no, no, man. No. It's an offensive weapon. You're out there offensive. It's a word of God. It's the picture of a spiritual war. But boys and girls, it's in the natural realm. Oh, that was is really powerful. Let me shut up. Somebody else want to come on in? You don't have to.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah,
Coach.
Yep.
Jamie was powerful. I stood up and addressed the church yesterday morning when we got done. Pastor Bill gave me about 5 minutes, and I might have offended some people, but I give him bits and pieces of what that man stood for and the stuff he told us. I mean, like the one thing, just everything from Iraq to different situations, but kissing his wife and children goodbye. I said, the man stood there and wept. You know, I said, he didn't think he's ever going to see him again.
He went one-way trip, he said.
Yeah.
To go to Iraq to rescue Christians, and he said it was a one-way trip. He knew when he left home it was a one-way trip.
When it's about the results, serving the Lord, it's about the results that the Lord's going to get using you. That's what I got out of it. And, you know, it's amazing. Tonight's the school board meeting, and I just went and listened to Jamie Saturday, and I'm going to ask him, is this the results? If you say you love the children, I'm not going to go in there really any big agenda. But listen, all of you in this board sit in a church. If you say you love the children, is this the results that the Lord's expecting that these kids are going to get? You know what I mean? We've had these shootings in the last week and this and that. Suicide of kids. It's like, people, what are we doing? And I might take the last 1 minute and pray over that school board. And then I'm just going to walk out and I'll be back next month.
And, hey, Jeff, shoot your arrows and leave, right? Shoot your stinking arrows and leave. But somebody has to go. They're destroying our children. And we put on this armor and then we sit and we think we're going to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. We think that's all the armor does is quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. I wish I had that picture. I'm sure somebody did take a picture of that young David in that armor. It was profound. And that's what we're all – see, we're all commissioned soldiers in this army. We are commissioned soldiers. And we should be standing – see our armor as a spiritual covering, certainly, but understand it's more than just defensive. You put the armor on to advance, folks.
Amen. Amen.
And we're not advancing. See, the whole idea we have is we put the armor on so they can just punch us all we want and we won't get hurt. And that's what a mindset we have on that. Somebody else, come on in.
Dave, I thought the fellowship outstanding. I was there for part of the day, and I think the only thing I would say about the whole Saturday is we've got to purposely bring young people to these things. We just have to, all of us, purposely start thinking, how do you get a young person 20 to 30, you know, just a young person. We need more youth to come to these things.
Yeah,
we need to all personally invite it, because you cannot help but listen to a Jamie and come out of there and realize what your role is as a young man now. You just, you know, you can't come out of there not knowing that.
You know what else is amazing, Roger? It was 7 hours. We started at 10 o'clock. We catered food in. Michelle took care of all the food, bring all the food in. And we didn't leave till 5 o'clock. And Roger, we were running people out of the room. They would not leave.
Yeah. You didn't want to leave because the materials, the word of God was so attractive. You know,
and the fellowship so rich. Psalm 133, Connor. I think I said that to you a few minutes ago. Pull that up there, man, real quickly. Chad's here. I don't know if he's awake yet. I appreciate Chad coming all the way from flying in from Texas and driving all the way from Cincinnati. He's got to leave this morning to go back. And I appreciate the time and effort and energy that he gave to us as well. Didn't mean to ignore him. Psalm 133. And how about this? My wife just texted me. She says, honey, That's what I was reading, Psalm 133, as you said that. Well, surprise, surprise. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there, where there's unity, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Psalm 133. Where there is unity, God, look at this now, God commands the blessing. Jamie said that's a military term. It's not just that blessing might show up. No, no, no. Where there's unity, it is commanded by the Lord that blessing will show up.
Yeah, do you think it's just a coincidence that Jesus cried out for unity among his 5 times in his prayer to God?
Yeah, that's right. But see, you know why we don't have unity? Again, talking to me. Because we think it's about us. I fight that all the time. I thank God every day that the Lord trusted me to do this. I don't think I'm some high and mighty king. Those of you who hang around me know that in my heart. You know that's not my heart. I'm a coach. I want to coach you to be able to perform what he's called you to do to the best of your abilities. That's what I want to do. And the moment I get behind here and I think this thing's about me, listen, I know me. I'm not sure I'd follow me. But I'd follow the Lord in me. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm not here to change your theology. I'm not here to crush your doctrinal beliefs. I'm not here to do any of that stuff. I'm here to get you to unify and engage. And understand that some guys like to use a sword and some guys use a knife. And some use a gun and some use a bow and arrow. We don't all use the same weaponry and we don't all fight the same way. But we are all fighting the same common enemy. And my enemy isn't you. And I'm telling you, it isn't you. When you begin to look at me as your enemy, then you got your eyes on you.
Dave?
Yes, sir.
He also emphasized something I thought was the prayer warrior, the individual who may not be able to get out into the action, the importance of the prayer warrior. And I think he emphasized not everybody's on the front line. He talked about the logistics again, that the typical Marine, the role that he played in Iraq, there was many people supporting him. And I enjoy hearing that because we all have something to contribute to the battle.
Hey, Roger, and you said it the other day, excuse me. Some of you can fund the battle. Some of you can't go. But some of you can fund the battle. And I say over and over and over, I don't want your money. But we're running an operation here. We're running a military operation here. It takes funds to do what we do. I don't want you to hide to pass the SALT Ministries. I don't want to. I said it over and over again. If you'd all just give $10, if everybody watching right now, there are some of you watching right now who've never given $10, you haven't given a dime, let alone a monthly $10 or a monthly $20. And Jamie Walden came in and did this wonderful event for those people, and we took an offering, and the offering was above and beyond what we thought we would get. But you know what? There are a lot of you right now. You're on spiritual welfare. You take and take and take and you never give. And I'm not trying to make you feel bad because we're going over, we're not going under. But we could expand what we're doing if we didn't have to worry about finance. Now, I don't worry about finance. I don't worry about it. But I know going into this event we just did, I knew how much money I wanted to try to be able to give Jamie and hoped that we would be able to do it. And most of you know what that amount was. And we were able to give him above and beyond that amount because of the generosity of those came. So now we've got a 4-hour video. And we're going to put a 4-hour video together that you're going to be able to watch. And some of you want it for free. You don't want to give $10 to be able to have access to it. Come on, man. Some of you aren't even going to, you used to go to church, you used to tithe, you used to give 10% of your money. I don't want 10% of your money. But where are you giving that money now? What are you doing with it? Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So I said again, come on, we've got 1,000 people. What if y'all gave 10 bucks? Our financial problems would go away. Some of you are going to give more than 10. Some of you are just tremendous givers and you give and give and give. But see, one of the things that you run into then, let's say old Jeff Klein's given me, let's say he's given us $1,000 a month. $1,000 a month coming in from Jeff Klein. No, it isn't, but let's say it was, right? And we're running this operation. Well, who has the most influence? Somebody calls me and wants to try to get my ear. Does Jeff Klein get my ear because he gives $1,000 a month? Does he have my ear? Well, he shouldn't. He shouldn't. But we know how the world operates, right? And we need to be able to be free here at Pass the Salt and say, Jeff, thanks for your $1,000 a month. But if you think you're going to control what we do here because you give $1,000 a month, sorry, bud. That isn't the way it works here. And so we can't just be running an organization where we count on major donors. Come on! Love the people, by the people, for the people, and I don't know how I even got on that. It just all needed to be said, all right? It's all needed to be said.
Coach.
Yes, yep.
Can I say something here?
Sure, Andy.
I like Psalm 33 is a picture of the unity. What does it do when we come together? It brings an anointing. It brings oil pouring over the priest to be able to do the functions of spiritual warfare. What happens when we come together with one mind and one accord is we have a corporate anointing, Coach. It's not just one guy, it's a bunch of people. And that's the beautiful picture I'm sure Jamie painted was the military, how great a campaign you can have when you have an anointing. So that's, we can walk in that or not. That's our choice. But, you know, if you don't want to come and be part of something, then you're not going to ever walk in that corporate anointing.
Amen.
Well, Randy, you're right on. Ephesians 4:3, we're commanded to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Preserve the unity of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that promotes this unity. Amen. And if we are resistant to that, we're resistant to the kingdom of God, which is also empowered by the Holy Spirit. So, you know, the unity is a product of the Spirit, and it's very important.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Also, Mount Hermon, it's the highest point over there in Israel. It's 9,200 feet. And you can see it. It's snow-covered most of the year. And so David sees that, and he goes, that's coming down from the highest, from Father God, coming down. And he compares it to where's the church? It's the Zion. It's we're Zion. So there's the connection. And he just, you got to see this picture. I mean, it's so powerful, you know, and that's why that psalm, that's why he wrote that, or he probably sung it. But that's the picture. We have to see that's what happens when we come together in unity to serve God. There is the Holy Spirit falls, and then there's a power upon the people to do the work of God. I mean, it's just amazing.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, a little might even been the insight brought there, brother. Appreciate you. You know, the church is too busy seeing what doesn't unify us than what does unify us, because the church doesn't recognize we're in a battle. Because when you're in a battle, brother, and somebody's in a foxhole, your disagreements don't mean nothing anymore. There's a battle at hand, and Amen. You're unified in the Lord.
Amen, Dale. Amen. When you're in a real fight, you don't care who's fighting beside you, do you? Huh? If they're on your side, you say, I don't even know who you are, but keep fighting, and we'll have a hamburger when we're done here. And our mentality. So let me weave this into something. I don't want to talk about this. But we know that this weekend, you tell me, his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts, right? We had a union of, I'm sitting down, I hope you are, of Joel Osteen and Kanye West. Now, I want you to think about that a minute. And I you know, you guys know I'm not a big Joel Osteen fan. You all get that. And I get on Facebook this morning, and I can't tell you, it's all negative. It's all negative. Better watch out. There's the seeing eye. Kanye's not the real deal. He's setting us up. Folks, listen, I'm going to say this as nicely as I can. It's not about Joel Osteen, and it's not about Kanye West. And if you are dumb enough out there that you're following Kanye West, you are missing the whole point. He is preaching the name of Jesus. Now, what are you going to do with those who don't know Kanye but are hearing the name of Jesus? Say, well, he's just trying to lead us into a trap. He's part of the New World Order and the Illuminati. And look, there's the seeing eye, and there's the pupil. There, see, it's Kanye. Well, okay. He's mentioning the name of Jesus. What are you doing with the seeds of Jesus that Kanye West is planting? Or are you going to allow people to follow Kanye West? See, it doesn't matter. If we were talking about plowing, if I walk down a field, Mark Trump was talking about that, and all this corn has been planted, I'm going to eat some of that corn. I don't know who planted it, but I'm going to eat it. And I might take some of it, and I might go home and cook it and put my own flavor on it. But it is the seed that's been planted. It's not. I'm not looking back and saying, oh, that was from Kanye. Kanye planted all that. I don't care who planted all that. The gospel is going forth, and it's our job to make sure that Kanye's message is clarified to people that we know. Don't turn people to follow Kanye. And if you're a believer and you're sitting there and all you can do is criticize Kanye, oh, he's leading us down the wrong path. How many pastors in America have not led us down the wrong path? They just have a soft Satanism. That's all. They're just preaching a soft Satanism. Just as deadly. It's not the gospel, at least not the full counsel of God. And so Kanye comes in with a little bit of his version of it. Oh, no. Meanwhile, you got Methodist pastors ordaining homosexuals. Methodist pastors are doing that. Is there a revolt from amongst the people against these denominational pastors that are so far from the gospel? Oh, no. We got to. It's Kanye. Oh, there's the seeing eye. It's the Illuminati. Well, what do you think's going on in the Methodist Church, in the Presbyterian, at the hierarchy? Sorry, what do you think's going on at the hierarchy of the Catholic Church? What do you think?
Hey, Coach. Jesus had some disciples with a critical eye. You remember, Lord? These ones over there—they're casting out devils. Do you want us to call fire down from heaven on them? Jesus said, "They're not against me. They're for me. They're casting devils out over there." I read some of that stuff too, but then I read where people rebutted them and said, if you listen to the whole message that Kanye West brought, he brought forth a message of repentance, even unto Joel Osteen.
Well, that's right, Dale. You know, too many people want to criticize him by association. Well, Jesus associated with sinners and tax collectors, but what did he preach? We need to see what Kanye West preaches, not who he associates with. Someone's got to get in there and preach the gospel.
Robert, I'm sorry, folks. He is bringing the name of Jesus to more people than any of us will ever reach. Now, what will Christians do with the seed Kanye planted? Rather than us screaming and hollering about what a bad seed it was, what are we going to do with that seed that he planted? Because what? One man plants, and it's another man that waters, but it's God who gives the increase. Kanye doesn't plant and water and reap the harvest. He plants. Somebody else waters, and God makes it grow. So I guess I'm one of the weird ones. I thank God for Kanye. I thank God for Kanye. I thank God for the fact that he's sown. I hear Larry about ready to bust because it's about the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower, that's what it's about, right? Kanye is sowing. Folks, listen, the fruit of that harvest is up to me and you and the Lord. It's not up to Kanye. Go ahead, Larry, I feel you.
Yeah, I was, all weekend I've been delving into the Kanye thing a little bit, and what Robert just said is the key, is I don't have enough information. I haven't discerned yet for my part. But I did get, I believe, from the Holy Spirit, some questions and answers. Just 30 seconds will cover them.
Sure.
As far as myself and Kanye goes, and each of us in this queue and listening and watching this program, every day our question is, what is your next step? God, Larry, what is the next thing you're going to do? The answer to that is to be obedient to God. Now, the question behind that is, obedient to what? And the answer to that is whatever God, through his Spirit, tells you to do. And then the next question behind that is, how can I know what that is? And the answer to that is by listening and learning to hear his voice. And if we're not concentrating on those questions and answers, we're out of the box. We're not where we need to be.
Well, Larry, this is just as good a question to all of you out there who are being so critical of Kanye and Joel Osteen. You guys know where I stand with Joel Osteen. The bottom line to it is this: how much stuff do you not believe today that you believed 20 years ago? Your theology 20 years ago was wrong. It was wrong, and you believed it with every bit of being that you had. And it was wrong. And now 20 years later, from studying the scripture and walking out your own faith and working out your own salvation, you look back and say, you know what? What he was teaching me 20 years ago, God bless him, but he didn't have it all. That pastor didn't totally understand it all. We want Kanye to be, what do we want him to be? Is he ready to be the head of some theological seminary someplace? Is that what Kanye wants to do? Does he want to become the expert in Christianity?
Well, you know, he's going to be preaching Jesus, the full gospel, hopefully, to people that maybe have never heard the gospel. And, I mean, I tell you what, Joe Osteen's not going to have a street preacher come in. He won't do that. But he can have someone like Kanye West, who then will preach the full gospel. So we need to see why he preaches. I'm excited about who God is raising up.
Anybody that's lifting up the name of Jesus, folks, if Kanye becomes the head of his own denomination, okay, now maybe we got us an issue here, right? Right now, he's just talking about Jesus, the way I see it.
Yeah.
Oh, there's the scene, right there it is. There's the seeing eye. There, see it? I told you. Look at his hand signals. Look at the hand signals he's using.
We're too busy focusing on that which does not unify us than that which does. Because as farmers, all we have is cornfields, and we refuse to have potatoes or onions or anything else in our garden. We feel if it ain't corn, it ain't of God.
So Christians, rather than criticizing and warning about Kanye, what if we all, Psalm 133, in unity began to pray that God would open his eyes and use him with the true gospel, that Kanye would begin to understand things about the gospel that he didn't understand last week, that President Trump might begin to understand things about the gospel that he never understood before. This thing is, folks, listen, this is just a tip off. I think for President Trump, his faith, I don't know where it is, but it's just a tip off. He needs a remediation, probably.
Yeah. Hey, right? Coach.
He's on his way. He's on a journey. So is Kanye. Yeah, Mark.
If people are thinking negatively about his association with Joel Osteen, wouldn't you accept an invitation to Joel Osteen's church?
In an instant, brother. I'd be there in an instant.
To teach his audience, then all of a sudden you're supposed to be judged for your association?
Yeah. Hey, Mark.
What? That makes no sense. You want access to the audience.
Right. Can you imagine if I got an invite to Joel Osteen's church? Right. Can you imagine what they'd be saying about me?
Right.
I know what
your
I would
hand
say.
Hand gestures, or you're angry, or whatever else, right?
Yep.
Hey,
yep.
I would say if he does that, he just got saved.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
God bless him for getting access to that audience.
Amen.
None of us are going to teach Jesus as well as Jesus did. None Amen. Of us. Amen. Not one.
I wonder if it's a,
so who
I wonder
are
if
we
it's a
to accuse?
Of,
go ahead.
No, I'm wondering if it's a little bit of jealousy where Jesus was sharing the parable about those who were hired in the morning and later in the afternoon, and he paid them the same. This is one of the things that I see with Donald Trump, with the Hollyweird people, why they hate him so much is because this guy is all of a sudden holding the highest seat in office and never ran for a dog catcher. They're jealous that how can he do that? I think some of the Christians are jealous because here's this guy. Who is this guy? All of a sudden in the latter days, man, he's out there and he's getting
Amen.
It on.
Because Dale, you know why, Dale? Can I tell you why? Because a lot of them ain't ever really been saved. They don't understand having been transformed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. And they look at Kanye and they say, as wicked as he is, he couldn't possibly be saved. Hey, you have any idea what a beast I was? Any idea what a carnal, God-hating Christian I was? My eyes got open. I've been transformed. But God can't transform Kanye. The same people criticizing Kanye criticize me because I'm angry and independent and won't listen to any. Yeah, come on, man.
Coach,
you guys hear it all, right?
Those guys are grave diggers, Coach. A grave digger is a Laodicean Christian or a non-believer that loves ripping up our past that's already covered under the blood.
Amen. Yep. Their past is under the blood, but his isn't, right?
Hey, as long as Jamal Bryant comes out against Kanye West, I know Kanye's on the right track because Jamal Bryant is an apostate heretic.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Alan, for all of us, I know some of the stuff that I used to believe, and I'm ashamed to tell you that I used to believe it. All right? Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, right? Working out. Eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has it even entered the heart of man, the things that God has in store for those that love him. We've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. There's a transformation that takes place. And if Kanye West has not had that transformation, then he's the world's greatest actor. Because I've had that one, and I recognize it. I recognize that transformation. Jeff, I recognize the transformation of the little guy in the garage who now goes to city council meetings and preaches. I see the transformation in him. And he can't explain the transformation in him. It just happened. And a lot of people have not had that radical transformation that I believe Kanye had. Most people have not had that. They were just born in church. They just said a prayer when they were 13 years old. And they've just gone along and they've just played religion. And they're self-appointed watchmen. I want to ask you something. I think what's going on with Kanye is a good thing. And other believers think it's a bad thing. Can we both be right?
Well, Coach, I think you're right. You know, too many Christians want to pluck out the splinter in someone else's eye and don't want to remove the log in their own eye, and they can't see what God's doing because the log's in their eye. They just can't see it.
Hey, Robert, Kanye, that name of Jesus, boys and girls, that's a seed, baby. That is a seed. And how many people have received that seed from Kanye West? Now listen, we don't want them following Kanye West. We want them following Jesus. So that's why the Lord said that the fields are white. Send workers. Send those who now Kanye has touched their heart. Send workers, Lord, to guide them into all truth, to disciple them, to train them up in the way they should go. The seed has been planted. Let's go. Let's go get that harvest. That's the way I read it. That's the way I see it. How can you be preaching the name of Jesus and leading people to the devil? I don't get it.
Hey, Coach.
Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in the defense of his apostleship you know, I'm pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down, not destroyed. He began to talk about, he says, and light shine forth out of a dark place. Paul was talking about his heart. Paul was the darkest of religion, brother, the darkest of religion. And that is where light shines the brightest out of, is out of the darkest places. Kanye West was one of the darkest, brother, when it comes to that industry. Brother, and that light is shining, and people are hating that light because it is shining on them, and it is doing exactly what you're saying. What are you doing for the kingdom of God? You're pointing your finger at Kanye West, yet three fingers are pointing back at you.
And Dale, he has brought the name of Jesus to people I will never reach, and neither will you. So now that that seed's been sown, what are we, Fields are white, what are we going to do with that seed he's planted? That's where I am with it. Robert, you ready for Keepers of Faith? Hey, I want you to sit here. At the end of this show, I got something you ain't going to believe. So stay with us till the end. Robert, November 18th, pull that thing up before.
Okay. Folks,
Robert had a lot of people interested in his book this weekend. Praise the Lord. It was really, really good. Go ahead, Robert.
Okay, November 18th. Like you say, it's all about Jesus. That sort of fits in with what the devotion says. If Christ lives in us and God is for us, why be down on ourselves and beside ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
So here it is. If God is for us, who can be against us?
That's a question mark, by the way. Is he for you? Is God for you? Better ask that question. Go ahead, Robert.
That's true. If God is at work in us, what circumstance can
all
work
right,
against us?
Rob, I'm sorry. That's an if again. This is conditional. Go ahead.
That's right. If the Spirit of God empowers us, what force can overpower us? If the victorious Son of God lives in us, why live in defeat? If we are citizens of heaven, why live as captives in the world? Like you're saying, Coach, if these things are true, then we should see the fruit of this reality.
That's right.
If Jesus has bruised the serpent on the head and the God of peace wishes to crush Satan under our feet, why allow the devil to hold us under his thumb?
Amen.
If Christians are called saints, why be characterized as sinners?
Mm.
If God wants to father us, why walk as prodigals?
Wow.
If the Spirit wants to walk in fellowship with us, why walk without him? If Christ, the hope of glory, is in us, why be gloomy? Maybe it is because we do not allow the Spirit to give newness of life by teaching us how to abide in the Word of life.
Hmm.
Or maybe it is because Jesus is Lord of little rather than Lord of all.
Wow.
Or maybe it is because we have never died on the cross with Jesus in order to live in resurrection life for him. For unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Maybe we've never died to self, died on the altar. Or maybe it's because we are more concerned about the best life now than we are concerned about taking hold of eternal life to which we were called.
Amen.
Or maybe we are more in love with self than with the Savior, more interested in being happy than holy.
Amen.
Why settle for so little when we have been blessed so greatly?
Wow. A lot of ifs in there, Robert.
That's right.
A lot of ifs in there, man. Wow. Meditate on those scriptures. Meditate on those scriptures. Hey, listen, I want to shift gears here because this is a blow away moment for me. Okay, Jared or Connor, whoever's running it, pull up the thing that says archaeology, folks. At the event this weekend, I was reunited. Hang on, just a second there, Connor. I was that's not a nice word. I came in contact with a person I'd known in my past whose mother owns the property that sets right next to Sky High. So this is for those of you who've been to Sky High to the property. Remember, I'm telling you, the Lord wanted me to have this property. I didn't know why. So she cornered me and She lives right. Her mother lives right on, owns a bunch of land around it, where all that lost lands and all that stuff took place. And she begins talking to me about the wickedness of this area and about shamans that had been there and yada, 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 yada. And that there, are you ready for this? That there had been a pyramid, Mark, you listen to this. There had been a pyramid standing, not at sky high, but in this vicinity, within a quarter of a mile where we are. There'd been a huge pyramid, the largest edifice in North America. The largest edifice in North America was right here at sky high. It was right here. Maybe not on sky high, but right here. An actual pyramid. And she's gone on and on. She says, you don't understand the wickedness that's taking place here. And yeah, so glad that you now own that property and it needs to be sanctified, but you need to know so much about it. Boom, 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 boom. So, you know, like everything else, you take it with a grain of salt. All right, cool. All right, we'll get together here. And then my son-in-law, who came to the event, he did some research. He said that he was fascinated by what she was telling, because they live here. My son-in-law, we occupy this land, right? Where this pyramid supposedly was. I'd never heard of a pyramid. So my son-in-law did some research. And look at this, folks. Are you ready? Now, those of you who've been to Sky High, you'll get the picture. If you haven't been here, you won't get the picture. But this is so amazing. Now, this was out of our local Columbus Dispatch newspaper on April 14th, 2016. This article was printed, okay? The discovery and dredging up of the wreck of the canal boat, Black Diamond. They had a boat at Buckeye Lake that when they were doing the dredging, they found this ship that has sunk. It's called the Black Diamond. So this 2 years ago, they're writing about it. From the bottom of Buckeye Lake back in February, it got me thinking about a much more ancient archaeological wonder that similarly received rough treatment during the original construction of Buckeye Lake. It was called the Licking Summit Reservoir. Those of you who've been to Sky High know what I'm talking about. Sky High overlooks Buckeye Lake, which is a man-made lake. Okay, stay with me. The discovery and dredging up of the wreck of the canal boat. Well, in 1823, the builders of the dam that created Buckeye Lake, which is now undergoing extensive repairs, got the stone they needed by partially dismantling an ancient stone mound located about 2 miles north of Thornport at the eastern end of Buckeye Lake. Can you say Sky High? The reservoir stone mound, apparently named for the cause of its destruction, wasn't just a mound. It was the largest pre-Columbian stone structure north of Mexico. I'm getting goosebumps. I present what little we know about the amazing mound in the current issue of the Journal of Ohio Archaeology. I got to go get that, by the way. The reservoir stone mound was built of unshaped blocks of local sandstone to the height of 40 to 50 feet. Stone mounds are not as common as earthen mounds. Most are only a few feet tall, stone mounds, and they're almost never more than 15 feet. But this one was 50 feet high, a pyramid. In a letter published in the prominent National Literary Magazine in 1822, the author referred to the reservoir stone mound as by far the most noble monument of antiquity now existent in North America in 1822. And urged the United States Congress to ensure its preservation for posterity. Boys and girls, Sky High we're talking about. The eloquent plea appears to have fallen on mostly deaf ears. Before they began, they used the stone to reinforce Buckeye Lake, okay? Look at this. Mark, before they finished, workers had removed 10 to 25,000 wagon loads of stone from that. Wow. They tore down the pyramid, folks. A Smithsonian Institution report published in 1837 stated that the removal of the stone revealed an underlying circle. You listening to 15 or 16 smaller earthen mounds. Curiosity seekers dug into these mounds, and in one they found a remarkably well-preserved wooden coffin or burial platform about 8 feet long, and it held few fragments of human remains along with 10 copper bracelets. Now, most of you don't know this. I'll throw this in there just for a little bit. You ever run into a true Nephilim giant? The only way you can kill a Nephilim giant. Does anybody know how you can kill a Nephilim giant? Can you kill a Nephilim giant with just
copper?
Huh? Copper bullets are the only way to kill it. Okay? So a local physician acquired a fragment of the wooden lab, which he donated to Yale University. Last year, Peabody Museum curators gave me a small piece of the fragment so I could radiocarbon date this unique mound. The laboratory that analyzed the sample determined that the tree from which the platform had been carved and was chopped down was around 130 AD. Based on that date, and the artifacts reportedly found in the mound, such as copper bracelets and several pieces of thick pottery, I concluded that that mound was built by the Adena cult. See, that's the Indians. They go back to the Indians. See, they can't understand what happened here. Historians don't, so they just go to the Indians. But the Adena Indians, they didn't do it. The Reservoir Stone Mountain was unique for its enormous size, for the circle of an earthen burial mound at its base, and for the remarkable preservation of the wooden burial platform. Because of the way the mound was torn apart and haphazardly excavated, we will never know what more it could have taught us. That's a tragedy, because it certainly must have been one of ancient America's noblest monuments. At Sky High. Does anybody get goosebumps but me?
Amen.
Coach. So this lady's talking to you. Did you finish your story? Is there an outcome?
Well, you know how it is when you're at these conferences, right? People are bringing up, I got her number. I'm going to sit down. She said, I can tell you more stuff than you ever want to know. My father was a shaman and they did this and they did. So I just got to sit down with her and record and talk to her because, brother, she knew what she was talking about.
Coach, don't call them goosebumps. Those are called glory bumps.
Hey, yeah. Coach, you remember what I said at when we met up there and had that prayer?
Refresh me.
I said, this was prophetic. I knew it come out of nowhere, Coach. I said this, and I'm not trying to build myself. I'm just showing you this is the word of the Lord, that this would no longer be known as the threshold of the giants of the Nephilim. It's going to become the threshold of the kingdom of God.
Amen, it's brother.
We have changed it.
We've reclaimed it, Randy.
Placing darkness right here in real time.
So as I tell people, I don't know why I got Sky High. I don't know why I got it. But I know that the Lord brought that into our house. What if that Sky High now once again becomes the exaltation of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords over this area? What if we have reclaimed the high place? What if we've reclaimed the Lord has brought the high place back into the hands of Christians?
Because out of dark places shines a bright, great light.
Sky High, man. Sky High. So people say, what are you going to do with it? I say, I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I know this. We got it. We got it. They don't have it anymore.
Coach, the question isn't what you're going to do with it. It is, what is God wanting to do with it?
There you go. Right? Thinking it's about me, right? Thinking it's about me. Never thought
it was about me. It isn't no accident that this is all coming right now. This is a confirmation of what God is getting ready to do, Coach.
Unveiling it all. He's unveiling it all. Randy, I just saw this. I didn't pull it up here because Dave Hodges. Go to Dave Hodges. Supposedly, some of our forces over in fresh off my head came across warning of some Anakim coming after them, and somewhere in the Middle East, can't remember exactly where it was, Afghanistan, someplace. You guys know what the Anakim is? That's the giants. And that we withdrew our troops because we got word that the Anakim. Look it up! We're coming and our troops fled. Because the locals told them, you better get your butts out of here. Because they're coming. I didn't see it. I don't know. But I know this. AD 120, that coffin was AD 120. And they want to tell us it was the Indians. Yeah, right down the road is at Nephilim Central, the Circle Mounds and the Octagon Mounds. And Flint Ridge and Glenford Fort, and the one in the high, I showed Chad yesterday. Oh my goodness. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.